This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. I am trying to make heaven very crowded. Still, there is always room for one more. Please join with me in prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Father God, I want to praise and make the name of God Almighty and His only Son, Jesus Christ, great and powerful before all of the many people listening today. May the words that I speak be the right words to communicate the glory of Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died to pay the penalty for sin for everyone who individually believes and trusts in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Give to each person listening the faith to trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, so they can know that through Jesus they have eternal life. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in Your eyes, O Lord, my rock and the one who saves me. I make this prayer to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to let everyone know about our Vision for Christ website at gospel2africa.com. It works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. At that website, you can listen to past, present, and future radio broadcasts. Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written over 50 Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospel2africa.com, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/gospel2africa. We have internet links at our Facebook page that link to African language Bibles, so you can view that at facebook.com/gospel2africa. Where will you go when you die? The only answers I know that people give are heaven, hell, or nowhere, just in the grave. Those who answer the grave are likely to be atheists or some kind of skeptic against the Bible and its message on the afterlife. Those who answer hell are often atheists or some kind of irreligious person who likes to make jokes about having wild parties in hell with all their evil buddies they associate with already. In claiming they are going to hell, they are not being sincere in most cases. They are trying to pass by the question of eternal destinations with a sneering or snide remark to minimize the seriousness of the question. And some who answer that they are going to heaven cannot really give a well-thought-out answer for why God will let them enter heaven. Some people just assume, since they lead a fairly decent moral life, that there is no reason they would not be going to heaven. What I say now, I tell you in all seriousness, the only people who go to heaven are those who have placed their complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they have repented of their life of sin in complete honesty before God. They have confessed openly their faith in allegiance to Jesus Christ as the only one who could provide eternal salvation when Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of those who believe in Christ to remove their sins, giving them eternal life. First, for the believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that after death, the souls of believers, their souls and spirits, are taken to heaven because their sins are forgiven by having received Christ as Savior. See John 3:16, 18, and 36. For believers, death is to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5:6-8 and Philippians 1:23. Second, for those who do not receive Jesus Christ as Savior, death means everlasting punishment. Unbelievers also seem to be sent immediately to a temporary holding place to await their final resurrection, judgment, and eternal destiny. Luke 16:22-23 describe a rich man being tormented immediately after death. Revelation 20:11-15 describes all the unbelieving dead being resurrected, judged at the great white throne, and then being cast into the lake of fire. Unbelievers then are not sent to hell, the lake of fire, immediately after death, but rather are in a temporary realm of judgment and condemnation. However, even though unbelievers are not instantly sent to the lake of fire, their immediate fate after death is not a pleasant one. The rich man cried out, "I am in agony in this fire," Luke 16:24. Therefore, after death, a person resides in a temporary heaven or hell. After this temporary realm, at the final resurrection, a person's eternal destiny will not change. The precise location of that eternal destiny is what changes. Believers will ultimately be granted entrance into the new heavens and new earth, Revelation 21:1. Unbelievers will ultimately be sent to the lake of fire, Revelation 20:11-15. These are the final eternal destinations of all people, based entirely on whether or not they had trusted Jesus Christ alone for salvation, Matthew 25:46, and see also John 3:36. Hell is a scary place. Jesus described it as a place of darkness and weeping and the gnashing of teeth, Matthew 25:30. A place of consuming worms and undying fire, Mark 9:48, and a place of eternal fire, Matthew 25:41. The book of Revelation pictures the lake of fire as filled with fire and brimstone, smoke, torment, and unrest. The Bible contains a severe warning for sinners. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death, Revelation 21:8. So, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have reason to fear hell, Revelation 20:15. The world tends to make a joke out of hell and to speak flippantly of it. Hell becomes a mere cuss word. People entertain notions that they will find a place to party with their friends amid the flames. Nothing could be further from the truth. Hell is a fearsome place, Matthew 10:28. Some people object to hell by asking, how can a loving God send someone to hell? In order to address the question of a loving God sending someone to hell, we need to define a few terms and correct a few wrong assumptions. Our definitions must be biblical and our assumptions must be correct. We must first define the term loving God. This phrase assumes some things about God, and answering the question at hand according to flawed assumptions leads to wrong conclusions. Our culture defines a loving God as a completely non-confrontational being who tolerates anything we want to do. But that is not a biblical definition. 1 John 4:16 says that God is love. That means that he does not possess love as we do. He is the very definition of love, and therefore cannot do anything that is unloving. The law of non-contradiction states that something cannot be both true and untrue at the same time. So, if God is love, then he cannot be at the same time unloving. So the first fallacy present in the question, how can a loving God send someone to hell, is the idea that allowing people to go to hell is an unloving act on the part of God. If we humans decide that God is somehow wrong to allow unrepentant sinners to pay their deserved penalty, then we have declared that we are more loving than God is. We have set ourselves up as the judge of God, judge and jury, and in doing so, have closed the door to deeper understanding. Therefore, the first step in answering this question is to agree with Scripture that God is love. Therefore, everything God does is an expression of that perfect love. The second fallacy in the question, how can a loving God send someone to hell, concerns the word send, which denotes an action only on the part of the sender. If a man sends a letter, sends a request, or sends a gift, all actions was done by that man. No action was taken on the part of the letter, request, or gift. However, this understanding of the word send cannot be applied to the question at hand because God has given human beings freedom to participate in their life choices and eternal destinations. See John 3:16-18. The way this question is worded implies that if anyone goes to hell, it is the result of God's unilateral action, and the person being sent to hell is a passive victim. But such an idea completely disregards the person's responsibility God has entrusted to each of us. How can a loving God send someone to hell? The entire question really is wrong. A better wording would be, if God is love, then why do some people go to hell? Romans 1:18-20 lays the foundation for the answer. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. People actively suppress the truth. People have been given enough truth to know and surrender to God, but they still refuse it. Self-will wants to deny the right of God to tell us what to do. So with the truth in front of them, many people turn away and refuse to see it. Romans chapter 1 states that God has made plain to them, that is, made God's nature plain to them. In other words, God has taken the initiative to make his truth known to everyone. History has proven that since time began, as every people group has sought some understanding of a creator to whom they owe allegiance, such knowledge is an integral part of what it means to be created in the image of God. Romans 1:20 then says that people are without excuse. And to whom would they give such an excuse? The very one who says he has made himself known to them, if they would only humble themselves and accept such revelations. God judges each of us according to the truth he has given us. And Romans 1 states that we have, each of us, enough truth to turn toward God rather than away from him. God is not only love, but he is perfect justice as well. Justice requires adequate payment for crimes committed. The only just punishment for high treason against our perfect Creator is eternal separation from him. That separation means the absence of goodness, light, relationship, and joy, which are all facets of the nature of God. To excuse our sin would require God to be less than just, and to allow sin-tainted humans into his perfect heaven would render that place less than perfect. It would no longer be heaven. That's why only the perfect Son of God could go to the cross in our place. Only his perfect blood was an acceptable payment for the debt we each owe God. See Colossians 2:14. When we refuse Jesus as our substitute, we must pay the price ourselves. Romans 6:23. I ask you today to allow Jesus to take on the punishment for your sins. Turn to Jesus. Repent of your sins before him. Confess your faith in the saving work Jesus did for you as you believe in him for your eternal salvation. I am going to pray for each of you right now. I ask you to join me in this prayer to God. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ, so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people, everywhere. We enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com. It works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. At that internet website, you can listen to past, present, and future radio programs. We also have internet links to African language Bibles that are found at our Facebook page. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospel2africa. Our main website address is gospel2africa.com. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you are not able to write it down. We so enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about what I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address. Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, spelled S-W-A-N-T-O-N, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com, and that is gospel2africa.com. On Facebook, facebook.com/gospel2africa. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship. I will leave you today with this text from Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life.